weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
And for the last time, for a little while at least, we welcome Dom Smith to look at another Cambridge museum.
Very good evening, yes, yes.
Hello, Dom. Thanks for coming in. You sent me a text earlier on to say that you'd been slowed down by traffic, but then you arrive on your bicycle.
Yeah, long story, but I was driving down from Huntingdon on the A14.
Okay.
It was traffic in the centre of Huntingdon is not very clever tonight. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. Spittles Way is causing us trouble. Anyway, we're not here to talk about traffic. We're here to talk about the Scott Polar Museum, where I believe you've been.
We are, yes. I was actually going to leave this this museum until the end of the year and do it at Christmas time when it'd be cold and perhaps slightly more appropriate for talking about Antarctica. But because we're shortening the run of this feature, thought I'd get it in on our last one. So, this is the Scott Polar Museum, Scott Polar Research Institute Museum even. I was speaking to the curator, Charlotte Connolly, and I started by asking her about what the role of the museum is.
Yeah, so the Scott Polar Research Institute was founded in 1920 by Frank Debenham, who was a geologist who went on Scott's expedition. And he had this brilliant idea to start an institute where people could come and share equipment and ideas to be social as well as for research. And as part of that, the equipment that they were sharing sort of built up over time. So it really started off very informally and grew into the museum we have today, which was renovated in 2010 following a Heritage Lottery Fund bid. So now we've got this wonderful, beautiful new museum where you can come and see a lot of the things related to both Scott and the explorers of his day, but also some of the native people from the far north and contemporary science as well.
It is. It's a very open, airy, sort of well-lit museum, isn't it, down here?
Yeah, there's loads to see, and it's far more accessible than it used to be. I'm quite new to the museum, so I didn't see it in its previous guise, but I believe it was definitely not quite as accessible as it is today.
Lovely. So perhaps you could tell us a bit about some of the key exhibits you've got around here. What are your favourite pieces, perhaps?
Oh, well, I try not to pick favourites. I think it's a bit like choosing a favourite child. But there are some brilliant things. So, for instance, we've got a barrel organ that was taken to the Arctic by one of the early 19th century expeditions. And it's quite tall. It's taller than I am. It's about 2 metres high. And it had these amazing reels on it that play 40 different tunes, which I think probably seemed like quite a lot at the start of a 2-year journey and maybe not so much by the end. So that's one of my favourites, I think.
OK, and so we've got this museum here. It's called By Endurance We Conquer. It's about Shackleton's expedition, and I believe it's been extended by popular demand. So can you tell us a bit about some of the things that you can see in this particular exhibition then?
Yeah, this year is really special because it's 100 years since Sir Ernest Shackleton went down to the Antarctic on his Endurance expedition, and it's an amazing story. So what he wanted to do was take two ships, one called the Aurora and one called the Endurance. They'd go to opposite sides of the continent, and the Endurance crew would trek all the way across to the other side to meet the other ship, while the people on the other side laid depots so they had food to meet them. Unfortunately, the ship that Shackleton was on, the Endurance, got trapped in the ice and ultimately crushed. So what was a very dramatic plan turned into an even more dramatic rescue. So their ship sank. They managed to recover a few lifeboats, and they floated along on the ice floe, and they managed to make it to an island, but it's an island where no one was going to go. So 6 men got in one of the reinforced lifeboats and set off on an incredible voyage across the Southern Ocean. It's something like 800 nautical miles to get to one of the nearest whaling stations. And they did it. They got there. They managed to rescue all of the crew from that ship. So it's a really spectacular story that we're telling here in this exhibition. And we've got some wonderful objects and some paper materials as well that you can see, from a tin mug that Shackleton would have used through to some of the papers that made it back from the expedition.
So why did these pieces come back from the expedition to Cambridge, of all places?
Well, it's really because of the exhibition. Actually, there's not a lot that's left from this particular expedition. So many of the things that we've got here are on loan. But we've got a project on at the minute, again funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund, where we're actively looking to collect things to do with Shackleton.
Yeah, I think you've actually sent some of the other Shackleton exhibits to the Falkland Islands, I think I saw.
We have. So our exhibition's in such great demand that it's gone on tour. So if you happen to be stopping by the Falklands, please do stop in and say hello.
So as well as some of the pieces from Shackleton's voyage, you've actually got some, I believe, some of the more recent exhibits as well that have come back from the Arctic.
Yeah, so we're here in the Scott Polar Research Institute, and we've got scientists here doing all sorts of things. So we tend to keep friendly with them, and if they bring back useful things, then we add them to our collection so that future generations can enjoy them. One of my favourite objects is really tricky to explain, and it's not currently on display. So I think 10% of our objects are on display at any one time. The rest are in store. Mm-hmm. And we've got a thing called the DOM, which doesn't tell you much. And it's part of a ginormous array that is used for doing particle physics, of all things, in Antarctica. So it's a cubic array of all these different DOMs that are strung together, and it's a kilometre cubed under the ice in Antarctica. So it's a piece of really ginormous science trying to uncover the mysteries of the universe. So I think it's really exciting, but it is quite tricky to explain.
And I know that we've got the British Antarctic Survey here in Cambridge as well. Do you actually work with them? Do you get pieces back from their trips?
Yeah, there's a surprising culmination of polar people here in Cambridge. So we're here, the British Antarctic Survey, as you mentioned, and also the UK Antarctic Heritage Trust. So yeah, we're all working together all of the time, whether it's to do educational activities. So we work a lot with the folks at VAS for that, or thinking about our heritage and the Antarctic heritage. So again, we'll work together as much as we can to get our stories out there.
Okay, and talking about those different organisations you've got around Cambridge, I know that the Scott Polar Research Institute itself is part of the university's Department of Geography, and I believe you can even do sort of MPhils in polar science, that sort of thing. So what is going on, what is the sort of current stuff that's going on in Cambridge around polar work?
Well, so as you say, we've got lots of students in the department. We help with the geography undergraduate degrees, and then as you get further on in your studies, we have master's students and PhD students. In this department, we're particularly good at remote sensing, which kind of does what it says on the tin. It's remotely or from a distance looking at the world around us and trying to find things out. So one of my favourite examples is we've got someone who does very serious work trying to map penguin colonies, and he uses satellite imagery to do that. Now, you might imagine that he sits down with a cup of tea and gets his pictures out and starts counting penguins, but unfortunately they're a bit small and that's not really how it works, so he had to think a bit creatively. Now, what you need to know about penguins is that they feast on a diet of krill, and what you need to know about krill is that it's pink, and it's pink when you eat it, and it's pink after you've eaten it. So what he does is he looks at these satellite images and identifies the pink bits on the map and uses that to figure out where the penguins are.
What's a surprising way of doing it? Excellent. Brilliant story there. I know that you were previously involved in the Science Museum as well. You've mentioned all the remote sensing work that goes on here. Does the museum do very much with sort of education more widely outside of the university itself?
Yeah, we've got a really big schools programme, so we have lots of school groups come in and visit. And we also try and get those family audiences, so we're really keen to get people in from under 5 all the way through to when they're 105, it doesn't matter. So we have occasional family days, we do brilliant storytelling sessions for the under 5s, we have talks going on, and if you're in a school, you can either come and visit us, you can book online, or we have handling kits as well that you can also book, so you can get us to share with you some brilliant clothing to try on and some brilliant objects that you can use with your classroom. So yeah, there's loads going on educationally here.
Lovely. So just a final reminder, the Shackleton exhibition is here until early September, I believe.
That's right. It closes on the 3rd of September and everybody's very welcome.
Charlotte Connolly from the Scott Polar Research Institute Museum. Thanks very much for talking to us.
The common connection between many of your guests is they were so enthusiastic about the museums in which they work.
Absolutely, yes. And special thanks to Charlotte, because I have to say, talking about exhibitions about expeditions is not the easiest thing in the world. yes, thanks very much, Charlotte, for that. The Scott Polar Research Institute Museum on Lensfield Road is open 10 to 4 Tuesday to Saturday, closed on Mondays and Sundays. And you can find out more at SPRI, that's Scott Polar Research Institute, .cam.ac.uk/museum.
Okay, Dom, thanks very much. Oh, and good luck, because you're not going to be with us for a little while. You're carrying on doing some outside broadcasts and things.
Absolutely,
with us, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes.
Yeah, not going too far. New job is the problem.